Timothy chapter 2. I want to preach a message that will be a help to the graduates, all graduates, but also all of us tonight. Just a little encouragement. It was funny because that letter that's in all of your diplomas and all of your with all your diplomas, the letter that he wrote, I have 4 points to this message. 3 of the points were in the letter that he wrote to them. That's why I told him, I said, don't read the rest of the letter. Stop there because they're going to give all my points away before I ever get to it. But I want to preach to you tonight about what will you do with the Word of God? What will you do with the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, just one verse to start off with. What will you do with the Word of God? Verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me say the first thing we need to do with the Word of God is study the Word of God. We need to be students of the Word of God. I wrote down several things. There's 14 things here that studying the Word of God, getting the Word of God in you would do for you. One of them is it's able to make me wise unto salvation. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, it's able to make you wise unto salvation. It can effectually work in you. It has an effect on you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It has an effectual work. It takes effect in the life of the hearer. The third thing is it's able to nourish me and help me to grow. In 1 Peter 2:2, these verses you already know, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We get growth from putting the word of God into our life, so we can grow by it. Number 4, it's able to build me up in Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. 5, it's able to keep me straight and perfect. Keep me straight and perfect. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What's right? What's wrong? How to get it right and how to keep it right. That's all the things in there that it gives you, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's able to keep me straight and perfect. It's able to give me assurance. You say, I have fear. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm eternally saved. I don't know if I even am saved. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So these things I've written that you may know. The book gives you assurance. And number 7, it keeps me from sin. Psalm 119:11, you all know this verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's able to protect me. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's able to pierce my soul. The Bible, we talked about that this morning. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints of marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible has a way of digging right to the heart of the matter in your life when it's preached. And so it's able to do that, pierce my soul. Number 10, it's able to give me a song in my heart. You know this verse in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It puts a melody in your heart with the word of God. Number 11, it's able to give me joy. In Psalm 19, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Number 12, it can encourage me and cause me to keep on keeping on. The Bible says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. It can set you free. In fact, actually, it can make you free. Not just set you free, but make you free. The Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have seen the song, thank God I'm free from this world of sin. The word of God makes you free, and it can make me holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Folks, that's why we got to study the word of God. Exactly what he said in that letter that they got is that if you will study the Word of God and put it into practice in your heart, it can fix all kinds of matters in your life, personally, in your family, and everything. So studying the Word of God. We need to be people that study the Word of God. God told Joshua when Joshua took over the ministry of leading the people, he said this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You say, "I want to be prosperous, and I want to have good success." All right, then get the Word of God in your life and meditate on it day and night. That's what we need to do. The Word of God, studying it. Not only study it, let me give you the second one. We need to live it. Live it. Not just study it. Gary is big on memorizing Scripture. He's big on memorizing Scripture. And listen, I'm for memorizing Scripture, but you know what I'm even more for? Living out the things you memorize. Living out Scripture. And we need to live out Scripture. We're supposed to put it in practice. In James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You realize that if you're just a person that hears the word but doesn't put it into practice, that you can be a deceived person? There's people in churches all over the place that are deceived people. Look at Hebrews chapter number 5 with me. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Very quickly, Hebrews chapter 5. Show you a great verse that I love. I look at it all the time. I think about it all the time. I share it with people all the time. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse number 12. So study it. Continue to study it. Brother Rusty said, you know, we might go through it another time and study it some more. But study it and continue to study it. And then living it. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. That ye be not, that's 6, 5, 12. For when for the time ye ought to be, what? Teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now watch this now. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, some people, they're deceived. You say, why are they deceived? Because they're hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And in this one, it says when there's people that they've been around long enough, that they've been hearing the word long enough, it's time that they should get up and be teachers, and they have need that someone teaches them the things again. Why? They become dull of hearing, the Bible says it, the verse right above. They become dull of hearing. You've heard it all. And you said, I've heard it all before. Preacher, I've heard that. I've heard that verse so many times I can quote it. I've heard all this before. Good, good. Now do something with it. Do something with it. Exercise. And I tell you something, you have got to exercise in order for you to have any strength, right? We've got to exercise the Word of God in our life in order to be strong in the Word of God. Exercising it. You say, I already know all this stuff. Yeah, but are you putting it into practice? Study it. But also live it. Paul told them in Philippians 4:9, he says this, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and see in me, watch this, do. Do them. Don't just learn them. Don't just receive them. Don't just hear them. Don't just see them. Do them. Put them into practice in your life, and the God of peace shall be with you. You say, I want the God of peace with me. And when he said, don't just be a hearer. Don't just be a seer. Don't just be a learner. Be a doer of the word. We need to be. And so we need to study it, need to live it. Let me give you this third one. His brother Rusty kind of alluded to this one. You need to preach it or pass it on. Preach it or pass it on. You say, preach it. I thought that's just the pastors up in the pulpit preaching it. No, let me tell you what the truth of the matter is. Everybody in this place is a preacher or a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be back in the nursery and two ladies sitting back there in the back, and one of them can just be preaching the fire out of the other one back there in the back. You say, what are you doing? Just proclaiming the gospel. You can preach. And so what we need to be doing with this thing is not just studying it, but also living it, but not just studying and living it, but also preaching it or passing it on to other people, telling other people about the Word of God. Now, let me give you some interesting things for those of you that are doing this. Let me give you a few spots. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. If you don't know exactly where Ezekiel's at, just turn your Bible a little bit and then stop, and I'll read it to you in just a minute. No one will even know that you don't know where it's at. But if you got in the Faith Bible Institute, you probably know exactly where it's at. There we go. Ezekiel 33. I used to do that all the time. I would just turn And then I would just be like, oh, I've turned enough. Everybody else stopped. I stopped. And then just listen to what they had to say. And but when you do that, though, you got to kind of keep your Bible kind of halfway closed so the people next to you don't know that you're not even there, so you don't look too much like a hypocrite. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 30. This is a great verse. Let me tell you, you're gonna preach it, or you're going to teach it, or you're going to tell people the Word of God. Let me tell you how some people are going to respond when you preach it and you teach it. Ezekiel 33, look at verse number 30. Also thou, son of man, the children of thy people, watch this now, still are talking against thee in the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that can play well on the instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You know what this says? It's very interesting. But this happens in a lot of places. People that come in, they say, oh, listen, co-worker, you have got to come to church. We've got somebody graduated from the Faith Bible Institute in our church, and they teach, or we got a pastor, and he preaches, and man, it's good. You know, when he preaches, it's almost like listening to a finely tuned instrument. It is wonderful. We enjoy it. It's so great. We have such a good time. And they say, you got to come with us. And they come in, they sit, and they're smiling because they're so happy that this guy preaches. So he's such a good entertainer. Boy, he says all the right things at the right time, gets us all excited. He says, but the problem is they do that, but they're not going to do anything with what you tell them. They draw nigh with their mouth, and boy, he's good. And then they'll walk out, and they're not going to do anything with it. I tell you, that you're going to run into that. Anybody in here that's doing any of this stuff, you're going to run into it. You're going to run into some people that are going to say, that was wonderful. I had a preacher one time. It was Brother Shemesh. I was at a conference one time. First time I ever had anybody do this before. He preached a great message. I walked up to him afterwards, and I shook his hand. And I said, what a fantastic message. I loved every bit of it. And he said, what specifically in it did something for you? Never heard a preacher say something like that before. And I went, well, it was point number three. And that when you said, and I went through it, but you know what? There's a lot of people that come up and say, that was great. And you say, what specifically was it that was really good? Now, see, none of you are going to say this to me anymore. That was great, preacher, because you're scared I'm going to do this. But the deal is, you say, what specifically? Well, I don't know, but let me tell you something. You had some energy. Boy, you were shouting, spitting three rows back. It was wonderful. What was it about the message you really liked? Well, I don't remember a lot about the message, but I do remember it was good. Boy, it was really, it moved us. You know, that happens. And that'll happen to some of you that are teaching. You'll have some that'll do that. You'll have some will be entertained. Let me tell you what else some will do. Some will get angry. Some will get angry. Some will get angry at the word that you're preaching. Some will get mad at the word. You know what? The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. And how many things shall offend them? Nothing shall offend them. You know, people really like the word of God. They don't get offended by the word of God. Now, we're not purposely trying to be offensive to people. I don't want to get up here and be purposely offensive, but can I tell you something? If you're going to preach the Word of God, you can preach the Word of God. You can just read off the page the Word of God, and there's going to be some people going to get mad at you. They'll get angry at the Word of God. I read one to you this morning in Acts 7:54. Remember, we told you that Stephen was preaching, and it says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, you've got to really dislike the message to do something like that to the preacher. But you know what? They also, in Acts chapter 5, Peter and them preach, and it says the same type of thing. It says, and when they had heard that, they were cut to the heart. Can I tell you something? The Bible, listen now, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? Heart. You preach this book, and you really preach it, it starts to pierce the heart of people. And in Acts chapter 7, it said that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, gnashed on him with their teeth, stoned him. In Acts chapter 5, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You're going to have some they're going to just be entertained. Say, oh, that was entertaining. That was great. Thanks for the teaching. And then do nothing with it. You're going to have some that are going to get angry just because you preach the truth. I've had people come in before. I remember there was a lady sat right there. And she came in and she brought in her 8-year-old child. I think it was 8 or 9. And said, I want my child to get baptized next week. And I said, I said, is she saved? Well, she loves the Lord. She sings songs in her bedroom all the time to about God. And I said, well, but the question I'm asking you is not, does she love the Lord? Does she sing songs? I'm asking, is she saved? Do you understand what that means? Well, I could tell mom was getting irritated with me asking this question. So I thought, here I am standing over the top of this woman talking to her. And so actually what I did is I knelt down and got on my knees on the floor in front of her and her husband and the kid. Everybody else had left. So I'd be about the same height as them, so I thought maybe I wouldn't seem menacing over the top of them, and I tried to explain it. Mom kept getting even more mad. She goes to church. She goes to church more than we go to church. I said, I understand, but I'm not asking if she goes to church. I'm not asking if she sings any good songs about Jesus. I'm saying, when did she accept the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior? She said, all we want to do is get baptized. I said, well, baptism comes after salvation. We got to make sure she's saved first. And I wasn't being all right. I was being very kind. But you know what we were just given? Truth. It's truth. I said, let me show you the verses. Baptism always comes after salvation. Let me give you the verses. Went through all the verses trying to show it. She got so mad, she started crying. They got up and left, never came back. Can I tell you something? You can give truth. Some people get really mad at truth. Now, you don't want to be purposely hateful. But if you preach the truth, there's some people that are going to not listen. There's going to be some people that are going to get angry. But let me tell you something else some of them will do. The same thing is said in Acts chapter 2, and I'll read this so you know it very well. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. See, cut to the heart. They were pierced in the heart, and now they're pricked in the heart. It says they were pricked in the heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember, 3,000 got saved. Let me tell you what you're going to get. Some people are going to say, that was great, entertaining. I'm not going to do anything with it. Some of them are going to get mad. But some of them, what they're going to do is they're going to say, what should I do now? And we got a church full of people. I told Brother Freddie when he came, I said, you know, we got a church full of people that will do. If you'll teach them the truth, they'll say, I want that truth. And what should I do with that truth? And they'll try to do something with it. They'll come to the altar, they'll pray, and they'll make some decisions. I said, that's the kind of people we got in our church. And let me tell you, as you teach the Bible, you know what? You're going to find some of those. Somebody told me a long time ago, because I stand and preach, and I would look around, and there'd be some people, and they'd look at you like, I can't, what are you talking about? I don't like anything you've got to say. Some of them, there'll be some in the crowd that'll be like this. They'll be, all right, now, if you're preaching and you see somebody sleeping and somebody with a dirty look on your face, what you start doing is you start getting mad. You start getting mad. And then you start, you know what else? You start getting mad. You start preaching mad. Bless God, let me tell you something. And you start getting mad at everybody. I had somebody tell me a long time ago, he said, you know what? Focus on some people that smile a lot and just watch them through the whole service. Because you know what? Let me tell you, this would be good for you, all of you that teach or do stuff. When you're shooting at the one bad guy in the crowd that's giving you a fit, you end up hitting a bunch of people that aren't there to give you a bad time. So you know what? Just focus on the ones that are doing the right thing, because there are some people listening, and there are some people that are trying to get it. And so you're going to have some that will be changed. So what we got? We got to study it, live it, preach it, or pass it on, even though some will just be entertained, some will get angry, and some will change. But let me give you this last one that I want you to get, and you need to get this one. Study it, live it, preach it, but never change it. Never change it. Never change the Word of God. Never change it. Because some people, watch now, some people get too smart for the Bible. They get too educated for the Bible. Hey, listen, continue education. If you want to get education. The problem is, if you get smarter than the book, you've just got too smart. And there are some people, the verse in Romans 1:22 is the one I always use, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And there's some people that get smarter than the Word of God. You say, what do you mean by smarter than the Word of God? They think they can actually correct the Word of God and that it's okay. Well, this says this, but it should have been this. That always makes me a little uncomfortable when somebody says something like that. So we don't correct the book. We don't correct the Bible. We leave it exactly the way it is. Some professing themselves to be wise are actually foolish. And I've seen people get up and try to correct it, and they're foolish. We've had some of our preachers go to places before. They went down to a camp one time. Brother Aaron and Brother Chance went to a camp one time. And when they got down there, they preached out of Revelation, I believe, chapter 3, and talked about how Jesus told them and said, listen, some of you are hot and some of you are cold. He said, I'd rather you be hot and cold, but you're lukewarm. Therefore, I spew you out of my mouth. Remember that sermon that was preached down there? And the guys came to him after and said, well, that's not really what that verse means, that you can be lukewarm and really get spewed out of your mouth. Really what he was saying was that there is a river that flows out of this place that's cold, and there's a river that flows out of this place that's hot, and hot water is good, and cold water is good, but when you mix the two waters together, they're not really that good anymore, and they're not good to drink or do anything with, so he'd spew you out of his mouth. And so what he's saying to you is, he'd rather you be cold and really good being used, or hot and really good, but he doesn't want you to be mixed with something else. And I thought, that don't even make sense to me. It makes sense. And I started thinking, where did those guys get that? That they were trying to tell these guys, you're preaching the Word of God wrong. They said, it doesn't just mean what it says. There's some kind of secret thing behind what it's saying. And they said, I thought, where did they get this from? So as I was reading some books, I read some books, and it came from some kind of guy that's a professor of Greek and all this different stuff, and he had Greekified it to the point that it was now, didn't even make sense anymore. And was correcting it. You know, and this is what they said in there. God would never ask of somebody, watch this now. They said God would never, these are scholars, been studying for a long time. God would never ask somebody to either be hot or be cold. He would never say either be hot for God or just be cold for God. He said God would never do that. So what would make you think that that's what that is saying? And I thought of at least two places where God's word did tell people to be like that. Joshua said, are you going to serve the gods of your fathers that were before we cross over? Are you going to serve this? He says, but as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Elijah told him, Elijah said, listen, are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve the Lord? Which one are you going to follow? If it's Baal, follow Baal. If it's the Lord, follow the Lord. You know what he's saying? Listen, if you're going to go out there and to all the false stuff, then just go all the way in the false stuff. Just get out of here. If you want to do something for God, then follow God. That's what he said. He said, make a decision. That's all he's talking about. You know what I say when it comes to all that stuff? Just preach the book. Just teach the book. Just apply the book to your life. Let me tell you what you don't ever need to do, teachers. Don't look for something that nobody has ever seen before. There's no new thing under the sun. And a lot of you will make a lot of mistakes by trying to find something that nobody else has ever seen. Listen, that's when I see something that nobody else has ever seen before, I get scared. I start thinking, this has got to be way off target. I start calling people to say, does this sound crazy to you? Yeah, it sounds a little bit crazy. All right, I'm not going to do anything with that then. I'll pray about it a little more. So never change it. Some use the Bible as a tool, but don't really believe the Bible. Some churches, watch this now. They'll tell you, we use the Bible, we don't necessarily believe the Bible. That's not our testimony here. We use the Bible, but we believe the Bible. Amen. We believe it's perfect from cover to cover. Now, you say, what Bible? We use the King James Bible. We believe that from cover, from this cover to that cover, separate from all the maps and the commentaries you may have in your Bible, because those are men's stuff, but the words of God, I believe, are absolutely perfect. Amen. Perfect. You say, well, I've got this thought and I've got that thought. Well, keep them to yourself. I don't need anybody to help me with all my stuff. I've already figured this out for me. I'm settled in it, and I'm just going to stick with the book. So there's some. I told you this morning, 2 Corinthians 4, 2. But it says, but have renounced. That we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know what? There are some people that handle the word of God deceitfully. They're a little deceitful about the way they're handling the Word of God. There are people that do that, and they don't really believe it. Let me show you the last thing I want you to see. Look at Jeremiah chapter 36. We've been reading through Jeremiah as a church, so this would be a good thing to say to you. Some people try to change the Word of God. Let me tell you this. Don't ever change the Word of God. Don't ever alter it. It bothers me if somebody says this word should have been translated. Nope. It's translated exactly the way it's supposed to be. Just leave it alone. Just leave it where it's at. It's fine. when people start doing all this other stuff. And you know, I ask you, what's your final authority for all matters of faith and practice? I ask people that all the time. Now, if you tell me I read after Dr. So-and-so, Brother Gary uses this term, I like it, Dr. Bottle Stopper. If you say, well, I read after Dr. Bottle Stopper, and Dr. Bottle Stopper said that this verse should read this way. And if you want to believe Dr. Bottle Stopper, hey, more power to you. That's fine with me. But Dr. Bottle Stopper just became your final authority for all matters of faith and practice. You know what, you know what I'm going to do? I might not understand everything out of this book, and believe me, I don't. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to leave it where it's at. Amen. I read after a lot of people, but when people start veering away from the plain understanding of the Word of God, I start veering away from that person. So we just stick with the Word of God. Look at Jeremiah 36, the last little thing here. Jeremiah 36, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken to thee against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah, see, he's hoping they're going to repent, will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. You know what he told him? He said, write some stuff in a book, read it to some people, tell them to repent and get right so that I can, maybe they'll turn from their sins and they'll get their lives right. That's what he's hoping to do. That's what God is doing. So, verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Now, from verse number 5 down to verse number 8, Baruch wrote it out, and he read it in the Lord's house. The Bible tells it there in verse number 8, the end, and reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. What did he read? What kind of was the gist of it? Verse 7, it may be that they will present their supplications before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. He's trying to read this stuff and get them to repent. Hey, you're doing wrong, get it right. That's what he's trying to do. So he read it to them. About maybe a year later, I don't know, it just says it's the next year, but I don't know how far that was between time. From verse number 9 to verse number 10, what he's going to do is he's going to read it again. He's going to read it again to all the people. Look down at verse number 10 at the end of it. In the ears of all the people, same message, reading the same thing to them, telling them they need to repent. In verse number 11 down through verse number 15, now Baruch's going to read it in the end of verse number 12. And all the princes, he's going to read it to all the princes, telling them, hey, listen, repent, get this thing settled. Look at verse number 16. Verse number 15, so Baruch read it in their ears. Verse 16, now it came to pass when they had heard all the words that they were afraid, both one and the other, and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. They got fearful. Listen, people get that way. I told you this morning, that's what Felix did. He trembled, but he said, go away until I have a more convenient season for you. So they said, oh, we're fearful. Let's go get the king. In verse number 20, down through verse number 22, you know what he does? He reads it to the king. He doesn't. Somebody else reads it to the king for him. And the king, watch verse number 23. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, the king here, he cut it with the penknife and cast it in the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of the servants that heard all these words. What he did, he said, I don't like what you're preaching to me in that book. So you know what I'm going to do? Let's just cut what I don't like out and burn it. And people do that all the time. Well, I don't like that chapter about what that's telling me to do. Well, I like the one above it. I like the one underneath it. I just don't like this one because this one's telling me something I need to do for my life. And we don't physically take a penknife, but mentally we just take a knife and cut it out, burn it, get rid of it. Might as well we say, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to do anything with that verse. I don't like what it's saying. I'll cut that verse out and just toss it. But let me tell you something that's very interesting. Verse 27. In the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote in the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Amen. I tell you something. You can say, I'm not going to do anything with it. You can take and cut this book into 1,000 shreds. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, and I believe it to be true, that God will preserve his word from this generation forever. You can try as hard as you can. There's Bibles coming out now that take whole verses out and just get rid of them and chunk them by the wayside. You say, well, I don't know if there's any Bibles that do that. Yet there's a whole slew of Bibles that do that. And it's all on interesting things like where they're taking out the blood, cleansed by the blood. We have redemption through his blood. Take out the through his blood. Why in the world would you remove the blood out of the redemption? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So he took the blood out of the remission. So there's some that take all that out. Let me give you another one. In 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. And there's three that agree, and I think it's the Word and the Blood, something like that. It goes up. You know what they do in the new Bibles? They take verse number 8, split it, and then just get rid of verse number 7. Why would you get rid of a verse that tells you that the Father, the Word, capital W, Word, and the Holy Ghost are all one? Why would you do that? I'm going to tell you, there is an assault on the Word of God. In Acts chapter number 8, in verse number 37. Thank you. Verse number 37. You know what? Some of them, I don't even know if they can even count, because it says 34, 35, 36, 38. 30, it goes like that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, where's 30? I learned that there's a 36 in there somewhere back in grade school. So I know there's a 36. What they did is they made it really small and put it at the bottom of the Bible and just took 36 out. You say, well, is it really that important? It's a greatly important verse. The Ethiopian eunuch says, there's water. What doth Henry be baptized? If you take out verse 37, all you do is you get to 38, and they stopped the chariot, went down the water, and baptized them. Hey, what stops me from getting baptized? Nothing. Let's just go get baptized. The verse that's missing, it says, if thou believest all thy heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hey, that's pretty crucial. There's a lot of stuff that just, hey, let's just cut that verse out. Don't need that verse, let's just cut that verse out. And somebody says, well, it's in the small print. Yeah, in little bitty letters at the bottom of the book. Why'd you take it out of the book? So there's an assault on the Bible taking it out. And I know you've seen it before, and I know you understand, and I'm not trying to be rude, but they've come out with, we've got a King James Bible. They've come out, I thought it was a joke when I first saw it, the Queen James Bible. I thought somebody made that up. I laughed when they said that. I thought, oh, you're being silly. And I looked it up, and sure enough, there is a Queen James Bible. It's based on the King James Bible, but what they have done, and this, I don't know why they would have called it this. It's got, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's got a rainbow cross on the front of it. And what they've done is they've taken out every verse that has to do with being a sin, homosexuality being a sin. They've taken every single one of those out of the Bible. All right, so you say, what do? They said, we want God's word. We just don't want the verses that tell us that we should be doing this or doing that. So if we can just get a Bible where everybody's eating ice cream and we're having a great time and everybody's good and nobody's bad, nobody has sin. If we can just find that, then everybody would be fine. I read an article the other day, and this lady was, I think it was a lady, in my mind, I imagined it being a lady. I don't know if it was or not, but it said, she said, she made a big deal out of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Made a big deal out of, there's no condemnation. We shouldn't be telling people there's any condemnation, that nobody's condemned. Everybody can get in on this thing. We should never talk about condemnation. Jesus surely never talked about condemnation. Folks, the very next verse talks about condemnation. And the last verse of it says, the wrath of God abideth on them. Not will, but is currently. You see, what we do, even when we're preaching, I'll give them this verse, but I don't want to give them that verse, because that verse hits home. So what we do is we just cut verses out of the Bible and do our own thing. Folks, let me tell you, we are to be preachers of the whole counsel of God. There's some things that, you know what, there's some things that I read. Somebody said a long time ago, it says, not the things that I don't understand that bother me, it's the things that I do understand. Because those are the things I've got to start doing something with. And so we need that. In Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Watch it now. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, let me tell you what the New Bible's changed that to. This is interesting now. The words, not just the word, not the thoughts, not the phrases, not the paragraphs, the words. Pure words and preserved. That, what the newer ones, I don't know if every one of them, but the newer ones that I know of say this: thou shalt keep us, O Lord, thou shalt preserve us from this generation forever. God has changed it from the words to us. God will keep us. You know what it says? God will keep the word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word's not going to pass away. So we need to stand for it. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad. I don't want to rip somebody's face off because they're using something different. But you know what? If I'm going to war, I don't want to go with a BB gun or a water pistol. I want the biggest. What's the biggest one you got available? Give me that one and a whole lot of rounds. That's what I want to take. Don't keep the BB gun. I don't need the BB gun. I want the, you know what? Somebody says, well, anybody, you can get saved in any Bible. Listen, I'm with you. You can get saved with a comic book. I'm going to tell you, if I want to grow, I better get the real deal. I want the full meal deal plan. That's what I want. I want the whole thing. And that's what we really need to have. Somebody told me a long time ago, for all you that are in this, you put this book on the shelf, God just might put you on the shelf for a little while. You put this book to use, God might put you to use. And so we really need to make much. Somebody said, well, y'all just worship that Bible. No. I don't worship the Bible. I don't worship this Bible. But I do love this Bible. Amen. You know why? Because this Bible points me to the one that I do worship. Amen. And it also tells me how to worship him better. Yes, sir. This book's changed my life. And when I see guys sometimes stand up for the Word of God, and I watch somebody else come along that's got just a little bit more education. And I saw this the other day, and I about had a little bit of a spell. I'd have to say what I was going to say and then delete Facebook account right after I got through doing it so no one would know. I got really pretty irritated. And I believe it was Brother Buddy. Brother Buddy said something that was good about just standing up for, yeah, my King James Bible. And some guys that were, boy, they're smart, buddy. They are smart scholars. Came up and said, well, when you get a little more education, if you'd just study a little more, if you would take the classes that I've taken, then you would know that this is not the Word of God. When I saw that, I thought, now why would you spend time? That's his Facebook page. Why would you spend time trying to poke holes in somebody else's faith in the Word of God? Just because somebody educated at you out of your faith doesn't mean you've got to poke holes in somebody else's faith. That didn't make any sense to me. And so I thought, well, Brother Buddy is rightly named. He's a buddy. He's nice. And I thought, I'll come to the rescue. And so, I'll say so. So I chimed in, which I don't normally do, but I chimed in. After I chimed in, I thought, man, I shouldn't have chimed in. But I did anyway. I thought, I'm going to chime in and I'm going to say stuff. So I tried saying some things. You know, your Facebook page is going to blow up after this message right here. So I thought, well, I'll say some things. And so I said a few things about it. Listen, I hope I never get that educated that I can start trying to get people out of their Word of God. I hope I never get that educated. And the guy's like, well, if you would just study like we've studied instead of watching YouTube, if you would write papers and get a degree, and I've got a master's and all this stuff. These are probably great guys. I mean, these are probably really good guys. But this, the way they were approaching it, I thought, this is ridiculous. And so I put the verse in there, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But I said this. I said, you know what? I have gone to school. I have studied. I'm working on my master's degree right now. I don't even watch YouTube. And I said, it's not wise to think that just because somebody has faith in the book, that they are a simpleton that gets all their information off of YouTube. There's some highly educated people. This brother over here that's visiting is highly educated. I will say anything else about you. Highly educated. You know what? Highly educated believes the book. Yeah, it's all them dumb people that believe the book. No, it's a lot of smart people that never got to the point that they were too smart for God. They believe the book. They believe the book. So just, here's my encouragement. This is my encouragement to you, to all of us. Hey, listen, study it. Live it. Preach it. Pass it on. Give it to somebody. Tell somebody else about the great things of God. And then never change it. Never change it. Just stick with it. Folks, this is one of the greatest jewels that we've got in this world outside the Holy Spirit. Amen. That God loved us enough to leave us his letter with everything we need. You know what? If God is great enough and strong enough to create this whole thing and help it stay going, it says all things were created by him and all things consist, means it keeps going because he says keep going. If ever one day he decides to say it's enough, it's going to blow apart. If he's strong enough, smart enough, powerful enough to create it all and keep it going, to save my soul from dying some 2,000 years ago and still be enough power to save me today, and then one day call me to home and all of us be raptured out of this place. If we have faith enough to believe that God is that powerful and that good and that holy and that righteous and that just and has all of that ability, what would make us think that the only ball he dropped was he could not preserve his word? That there's really no place you're going to be able to go to find the truth of God's word. And you know, the only place you're going to be able to find it is if you come and get me on a good day, and I can tell you what God wants for your life. Let me tell you, that's not smart. You know, you ask me what I say, the answer's right inside that book. That's where you get it. And that's what we need to do. We need to lift this book up, love the book. Not worship the book, but worship the God of this book. We can certainly do that. Let's stand to our feet.